Hello. So yes, I did touch on Cat's Eye briefly in my previous episode. So let's go into depth with this episode. Do you know what? Should I introduce myself? No. I need to remember that. The podcast name has my name in it. You don't need to know who I am. You know it's me. Yeah, I know who I am. Anyway, Cat's Eye. Before we get into them as a name, which, by the way, I do think they have one of the best names we've had from a new group, West or Korean, in probably, when I'll say the last 5-10 years, because I think a lot of names have gotten good because of hindsight. Now we've gotten used to them in a way. It's like, oh yeah, EXO is a great name. But is it? It's a 3 letters, you know? Even with BTS, I know that's not the full name, but still. I think Cat's Eye's name was just perfect. When they got that name, I was like, oh, this is going to eat. But has it been eating? Let's get into it. So to expand on what I was saying earlier, we got this whole Dream Academy thing popping up onto YouTube. I'm pretty sure it just came unannounced. But maybe because I wasn't following HYBE or whatever that closely, I didn't know. HYBE is the company, big label in South Korea that they're a part of. Maybe because I didn't follow them, I didn't know this was coming. But I remember just seeing Dream Academy Performance 1. But it just popped up out of nowhere. And people going, oh my God, react to it. And like I always do, I acquiesce and I go, fine, let me do it. Because one thing about me, I do not want to miss out on something I could possibly love. So I checked it out. So how they did it, we just saw these girls perform the same songs and we didn't know how they sound alike or nothing about their personalities. We just got performances. And then a couple of days later, you get a video of them picking an elimination. It was just like, huh? There was no, we didn't hear nothing about their personalities. We didn't hear them speak. We didn't see them really, really even talk to each other or say bye. They were just sitting, holding hands, crying. So we're thinking, okay, I guess these girls know each other. And I must say, that was quite a creative way to launch a new group. And I think it was something that we've not really seen done before. In that way, and it kind of got everyone's attention because we're like, what's going on here? So we started off with, actually, no, the first thing that got us, they did this intro video of all the girls wearing a uniform. That's what it was. And then they were walking around this shoot and you can see everyone's flags coming up on the screen. So I think that's what got everyone hype, actually. No, I remember that now. And obviously, at that start then, I think, was it 20 girls or was it more? These are the kind of things I should check before I press record, but I just want to yap. But anyway, it was a lot of girls, man. Anyway, and Manon went viral because her face card just gagged everyone, even me. Like, I was like, who the fuck is that? Like, she just had to, everyone was obsessed with her from the jump, which caused problems later on, but I'll get into that. That was kind of what they dropped first. And then the performances came. So once again, we didn't have much context, but we just knew a big machine was working and a lot of quality and thought had gone behind this, which, like I said in my other episode about aespa, one of my favorite things about K-pop is how well thought out things are, or at least that's what I thought. Anyway, the show comes, the performances come, we're watching, I'm reacting to them, I'm analyzing, I'm picking my favorites, I'm getting people's names wrong, blah, blah, blah. And what stood out to me was just the beauty of how diverse it was. Not a single dark-skinned black girl, I don't remember, but it's fine. That's too far to ask for K-pop so far, unless it's actually, we do have Fatou, thank God, but it can't be just her, man. Anyway, they do the performances, we're watching, whatever, we don't really know what's coming off this. And from what I remember, wait, did they even do the... Yes, and then they did the live final finale. Then they picked the girl group members. And once again, we don't really have much context either still. Then nothing happens until months, a year later. No, maybe 9 months later or so, a TV show comes out, Dream Academy. and on Netflix, and people are messaging me going, oh my God, you're in an episode. And I'm like, what? What are you like talking about? And then I went to actually just watch the bit that I was in, which is in episode 7, around 43 minutes or whatever. There's a snippet of me reacting to Daniela and calling her a star. And also, there's also bare other YouTubers in it as well reacting. Anyway, I was like, you know what, let me watch this from the start. And that, I promise you, if you are curious about the K-pop machine or curious about just, or you just like watching, you know, like that kind of rags to riches, making the band kind of shit where kids are working hard and they, and it's filmed and edited and it's so good to watch. It's thoroughly entertaining. I recommend it. And you also gain a lot of respect for these idols and these trainees, which kind of ties into my previous episode about young people debuting, because when you see how hard they work, you just shut your mouth. You just learn to shut your mouth because you could not do what they do. So yeah, that show came about, and for the first 3 or 4 episodes, a lot of the people that we knew from the Dream Academy weren't even in the show yet. So we started off 2-3 years prior to anything in LA, in this house, and they're training these girls. So it's interesting to see who left and who was then recruited as extras because they didn't have enough girls and all this kind of thing. So there was this whole beautiful story we followed. And I think that show also helped Cat's Eye get a lot of popularity. Another new thing that hasn't really been done before, where you're seeing the behind the scenes of how these K-pop trainees do things, and kind of getting invested in these girls' stories. So yeah, we got all that and seeing the drama and seeing all this. Because mind you, before we'd seen these girls, but we hadn't really heard much from them. So now to get to see their personalities, it was definitely more impactful. So yeah, everything was going well. You got to see everything. It wasn't going well for Manon because of drama. People were annoyed because all the girls were surprised by finding out they're going to be on basically a Survivor show by posting these performances on YouTube. They just thought they're going to be training, and then they'll be recruited. No, they then find out people are going to be start voting for you guys and doing this. So obviously, once people saw Manon's face, she shot up in the rankings, even though she had no dance training and not much singing training either. So a lot of people who'd been working for a year and a half were pissed off that, like, how can you just come in and you just go up simply because you're beautiful? But the game is the game, guys. Beauty has value. So trying to pretend like it doesn't. It does have value, and some people have it, some people don't, and that's why it has more value. So it is what it is. I see things for the truths that they are, and she deserved that spot from the face card alone. So yeah, that caused a lot of kerfuffle, and it was a big thing even till now, because Adela was one of the people. She didn't make the group. Now she's a soloist. She's been signed now, but she was one of the very vocal ones. But she was also seen as one of the most talented ones and hardworking, but she didn't shoot up in the rankings because the general public wasn't really voting for her like that. So she was quite upset. Sophia was upset as well, but Sophia's in the group. So people were thinking, oh my God, do they still hate each other? They're in the same group now. So all this is coming, and then we just go, okay, we finished the show. We're still waiting. Oh, actually, the show came out after they debuted, actually. So, I'm working that way chronologically, so it makes sense. So imagine, even though with the debut, with the two songs that we got, Debut and Touch, we didn't really have much context about a lot of their talent as a unit or seeing the range of things they can do until the show. So I think for me, the show kind of put into retrospect, like, wait, they did all that and all we got was Touch and Debut, because we saw them do, they had different class levels for how well you dance. Like, they had different tiers, and you can move up a tier, you can go down, and depending on that tier, you can do heel choreo, you can do chair work, you can do, like, it was so amazing. So you're seeing them do all this, and then they come with, like, 'cause you're so wanna touch, 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 like the most cutesy TikTok kind of songs. But I think a lot of us thought, you know what, like, it's a little taster of what's to come. Let's give them room to grow, because I'm also an advocate for letting groups grow. There's no point starting perfect. Like, start a bit young and work yourself into it as you grow. So they came with debut In Touch, and then the album came out. Sis, Short is Strong, Sweet is Strong, Something is Strong. It's an acronym. Anyway, they came up with that. And I remember just going, okay, because this is when the Geffen Records issue comes in play to me. Geffen Records is, I feel like they're influencing the music in the worst possible way. HYBE as a corporation is already known for wanting to dilute their music into very poppy, mainstream American market, surface level lyrics, music for dummies kind of thing. Americans should not take offense to be called dummies, because you know what Americans are like. You're like, that shouldn't offend you. Look who you have in power. We're dummies too. But anyway, I think it's really frustrating, because obviously a lot of what K-pop makes it exciting is the lore aspect, the experimental music, the music videos that have quirkiness to them. So then if you dilute everything into simple pop music that is very easy to sing, it kind of doesn't, it loses the grandeur of why people go into K-pop. So with Cat's Eye, there could have been an opportunity to give them a more grandeur concept, but once again, they were given simple, digestive songs. And on top of that, their songs did not pass 2 minutes, 30 seconds. And we know there's an issue with that, and that people are sick of as well. That's another cause that they all, oh my God, you lot have lashed on to that cause to the point where it's like, we get it. Like, we get it. Songs don't have bridges. It's annoying. You don't need to keep saying it. You've been saying it for 4 years. We've heard. But yeah, Cat's Eye was disappointing in that aspect, because once again, going back to how we saw them train, we heard them sing and they sound, Lara's voice is sensational. Lara, Sophia, even Daniela, Megan, everyone can, like, their voices are so good, and you're giving them, because I've been so out of touch, talk about it, but too much, I didn't want to think it out, sus, and you've been so out of touch, you could have a love, like what? And I get it, you don't want them belting on a song like that, but like, let's get some range on the B-sides. And what I did like about the first album, we got music videos for every song, which was a nice touch, no pun intended. So it's like, okay, there's some budget going into there. And I thought maybe because some of the members are still a bit younger, they want to keep things cute. Now, let's get to Gnarly. We hadn't had, obviously, they were gone for maybe, was it 10 months or so, of waiting for them to have their comeback. And for people who are not familiar with K-pop, we use the word comeback for whenever an artist literally comes back. It's not like in a Western sense of like, they've had a big comeback after 5-10 years of not releasing music. No. You can have 2 comebacks in a year. It's just the literal term of they're coming back to release music. So it had been about 10 months since their debut. We're like, okay, when's the comeback going to be? And then the girls themselves were hyping this song up. Like, they were like, this song is so sick, it's so cunty, blah, blah, blah. They were loving it. And obviously, everyone's expectations were high. I remember when the TikTok came out from, I think, the music video, you could hear a bit of the song, or we heard like 6 seconds of it. And it just sounded like complete wild, like, huh? And it definitely threw people off. But I was like, let's wait till the full thing comes out. My reaction to this song is on YouTube, so you can get my real first impression thoughts there. But even in my first impression, I was gagged simply because it was just so daring and so different and kind of ugly in a way. I didn't need it to have vocals because it was a very hyper-pop, Sophie-esque, kind of like European, grungy song. It doesn't need big vocals. And it made a statement. And I think they looked phenomenal. Yes, the people were doing, oh my God, Yuncha's a child. She's a child. She's 17. Like, fucking relax. Other than that, I think it made such a statement to the point where even when they were doing the promotions in Korea, was it Le Sserafim or one of the members from there who's older than them, I think, was like, I call them Onis because they're so cool. Because obviously you only address someone older than you if you're a girl as Onni because she's older. Ning Ning is the maknae. So yeah, it showed how much presence they had, because they were gagging everyone. Like, that's how you make a statement. So the reason why I was inspired to make this video was because in the bigger scheme of things, after that, it all went fucking downhill. And I need to know what went wrong. Like, was there an issue with the sequencing of the songs? Is that what it is? Is it because maybe the thought to it, maybe the approach was, if we come in hot and we get people talking, then they will now listen to the rest and they'll follow up and they'll still enjoy it. And I'm like, I don't know if that was the right approach, simply because you've now set up this massive thing and you can't follow up. So to show you guys what really happened here sonically, I'm going to play you a bit of the sequence of songs. Bloody hell, that was loud. Oh, but then we can't hear. How do I? Oh, wait. Oh, beautiful. I'm going to play you guys a sequence of songs so you can hear. And the people who are watching on Patreon, you can also see the videos as well. So you can also see the aesthetic change. So this is gnarly. This is what we got straight off the bat.
They could describe everything with one single word. You know, like Bubba
Gnarly.
Tesla.
Gnarly.
Fried chicken.
Gnarly.
Party in the Hollywood Hills.
This
song.
Gnarly.
Oh my God, the new beat.
Gnarly.
God, is this
gnarly.
Real?
Gnarly.
Oh, we're in a session tonight.
Gang, gang.
Oh, we're going out tonight.
Gang, gang.
Oh my God, this song's so lit. Congratulations.
Now you be like, gang.
Gang, 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 gang.
Gnarly.
I mean, so the fact that they're even saying I'm this shit, like, you can tell they have certain freedoms, which is something we thought we see as an advantage from traditional K-pop groups. They can swear, they've got energy, they're basically, it's so cunty, like, they're doing all this, and it's like, oh my God. And yeah, it made people uncomfortable, but I also think the girls that get it. If you've ever been out raving, or you've ever, you know, partook in things that are not perfectly legal all the time, then you're feeling yourself, you completely understand that songs. You don't have to have done those things to get it. But every girl who's done that, they get it. The girls that get it. And I got it immediately. I was like, yeah, this song is for the hotties. I get it. And especially as a contrast, let me just quickly remind you, this is the last kind of big thing of songs that we had from them, which is Touch, just so you get a contrast of how different things have changed. So I can appreciate why people were very shocked, because that is gnarly. It's so hardcore. But for me, I thought this is kind of like how you make a return. This is something that's, it says it's such a big statement, and you get people's attention. You get people talking, because how do you follow up with a big hit like Touch? And it's such a TikTok friendly song. So I thought, okay, we're in for something. And also the video was fantastic. And it suits the girls' personalities. They're very, once again, they're very outspoken. They have a lot of fun. They're just fun girls. And I think it fits their branding so well. I was like, okay, let's see where this is going. We're coming with a mini album. If you're releasing Gnarly this early, your other songs are going to be fucking nuts. And this goes into my point of, like, how do you really approach marketing? Do you run the risk of setting yourself up for failure because nothing matches that first thing you released? Or do you influence someone's perception to the follow-up songs because they love the first one so much, then they end up enjoying the rest more? I belong to the group of the former, but some people may be the latter. So the next thing they released was Gabriella. You know what? I think Gabriella's a beautiful song. It sounds really good. And after Gnarly, it kind of feels like a good placeholder of, okay, all right, so we need to pick up a bit more after this, though. And I really think MIA should have been the title track. But let me actually play that after the next one. But the beautiful thing with Gabriella is you get to utilize Daniela's more Hispanic roots, and which is a nice touch that this group has, is like we can showcase different genres in our music. And I think that would have been a good time to do it now, but no, maybe for the third album, let's really tap into a couple other ethnic kind of like sounds to suit some of the other members to really touch on that. I think that'd be a nice touch. No pun intended, for fuck's sake. But yeah, so Gabriella came out after Gnarly. We thought, okay, this is cute. So another issue we also have is that Gnarly and Gabriella are both songs that were in the ether before. I think there were demos that just existed that other people didn't want. So some of the fans already knew what the song sounded like, which I do think is an issue. And I feel like is Hybe kind of like not willing to spend money on really getting fresh songs for these girls that really... that is completely new for them as well. That's something that they should probably look into because they have so much talent and such great vocals. They deserve songs that are brand new and specifically made for them rather than just buying demos that are out there. It kind of ruins the surprise because some people who have heard the original for Daniela were like, oh, this sounds pretty much identical from what I remember. So anyway, I was thinking after Gnarly, all right, okay, so... the title track is going to be either Mean Girls or Game Boy. That's what I'd heard. To then we see that Game Boy has a music video. And this is Game Boy, which I do like, but let's talk about it after you hear it. Difference, gotta love the drama. Play the time, but you know it's karma. You're the one that's only calling. Maybe, but I ain't the problem.
You keep on pushing my button. You do. With me, you leveled up. Yeah, it's true. Now I'm somebody you don't wanna lose. You're just a.
You know, like, nice song. The music video cost about £5 to make. But once again, great, you know, great sound. It's nice and chill and easy. But Gnarly set the bar up too high. Gnarly just had so much daring energy. Everything else just sounds passive afterwards. And I keep thinking to myself, what would I do anything differently? Probably not. I would not change Gnarly being the first song. It did what it needed to do. What I would have done is then instead of Game Boy, I would have had MIA after Gabriella. Then this is MIA. And I'm also sure that I think Lara produced that as well, which also added to my other point. It's like the girls are so talented. I know for a fact some of the other songs on this album, they're like, I don't know if I like this. There's no way. And I know they have creative drive to make more of what suits them. So if I was to rearrange things, I would have MIA instead of Game Boy with that. But in an ideal world, I would have them have a song that is so specific to them, a brand new song that's at least 3 minutes long with the bridge and vocals as a big title track, and give people that vocal moment they really want in a way that's still cool and chic. I would have wanted something like that for them. But once again, we're stuck where we are. And it kind of feels like with Gnarly, we took like 5 steps forward, but then the execution of everything else took us back like 2 steps, which is a bit frustrating, because now it's like, when would they have their next comeback? Next year in June? Like, it's kind of like a missed opportunity, and things move so quickly. They could have really that. Because I felt like Gnarly was like the announcement that we are here. We are here and we're not going nowhere. But I kind of wanted them to have their Armageddon moment with the follow-up. But instead we got kind of like an underwhelming follow-ups. So yeah, in that case, that's pretty much where I am with Katsai. And I think you do run a risk of pissing off your audience when you kind of like let them down and you kind of don't follow things through properly. And I think that's what happened here. It was a little bit of an underwhelming execution from an era that started so amazingly. But who knows, we can give them time to grow, things can still get better, and we get to showcase more of the talent. But I think we also need more general content of them doing vocal covers and doing all these things, and maybe appearing on shows and kind of promoting themselves more, maybe more acoustic things. Let's hear them sing more, let's hear more content and see more content as well, because that's what made us fall in love with them with the Dream Academy. So let's bring that back. Yeah, and that's where I'm with Katsai. So fingers crossed things get better in the future, and that's it for today, and I'll see you lot next week. Remember to comment please, and rate the podcast and the usual things. I like seeing you lot's comment. Take care.